Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
We live. Hey, Mandy.
Hey, how are you on this rainy Sunday, this glorious day the Lord has made?
I know. You know what? Actually, I kind of like a rainy Sunday because it's a nice lazy day. You can just chill. I was already like planning out. You don't understand. Like before we got on, I was like, what should we eat for dinner? I'm always pre-planning my meals like in my head just because I like to eat. And I was like, ooh, chili. And I got so excited that we're going to have chili for dinner.
The best part of waking up. It's deciding what to eat.
Yeah, exactly. Forget Folgers.
I have not left my new cave, this room that we live in now at my in-laws' place. I haven't left all morning. I don't know where my fiance's at. He left.
You're like, bring me back sustenance.
I heard the rain pitter-patter and I was like, ooh, an excuse. Let me just stay right here. We were out and about all day yesterday.
Really? What'd you guys do?
Well, my little baby brother is in town, Alex James, as I call him. He's in town for Governor's Ball. You know, okay. that you know, music festival that young folks go to and they stand up all day and watch people sing. I don't know.
Yeah.
That.
No.
Not my cup of tea, but I met up with him and his friend back in my old neighborhood for brunch, and that was really nice. He's so grown.
How old is he now?
Can't get over it. 24.
Ooh.
Going on 44. When I tell you, we was sitting down, I hope his girlfriend doesn't listen, but if you're out there, I'm sorry. He was sitting there talking about how, with such conviction, and it's not like that he's always been this way. He's like, I just feel like my purpose is to have kids. I can't wait to start a family.
Really?
And he's like, I don't care what anybody says. I've always known this. People say you're not supposed to know what you want when you're so young, but I've always known I wanted this. And I was like, okay. Congrats. He always was the more stable one. I was the one who was like, you know, I'm going to move to Chile. I'm going to move here. I'm going to live there. Oh, New York, you know. He's got his head on straight. But it's kind of like it takes me aback sometimes by how like serious and adulting he is. I was not that way when I was 24, for sure. Yeah,
not at all. I'm trying to think, what was I doing at 24? No, I mean, honestly, there's definitely some moments. I feel like I was way more serious in my 20s.
You had a house. Wow, like really young though, right?
At 25, yeah. But I was way more serious in my 20s than I am now in my 30s. Like in my 20s, you would have met me and you'd have been like, okay. I was like, yeah, so I have my 401k plan and I've got my financial priority. Like I had a house. I had like $50,000 in savings, 802 credit score. I mean, I was an adult. And then my mom was like, so when are you going to have fun? And I was like, what's that? You and daddy taught me to like handle business. I'm handling business. And they were worried because I didn't know how to have fun because my whole life they had taught me to be responsible. And I remember my mom was like, you wear the same clothes all the time, Tiffany. Like, you know, you should go out and have fun with your friends. I'm like, no, I could put that money in savings. My parents actually out of desperation gave me $500 to buy new clothes. Meanwhile, I had like tens of thousands in my bank account, but I took it. Sorry, mommy. Sorry, daddy. And I bought new clothes. But meanwhile, I bought new clothes all on sale, all mixed separates that I could wear with different outfits. I mean, like, yeah. And then when I lost my job during the recession, it shook me up and like made me realize that like you never know what life's going to bring. So to enjoy it.
This is true. Yeah, I lost my when I was 24, I had gotten laid off. That was my first. I was 24, right? How old was I when I moved to New York? Who knows? I forget. It's been so many years. But yeah, my very first job here, I was laid off I got here and I like got a mattress. I bought an iPhone. I was so excited. And promptly 2 months after my hire, I was let go as part of like a 10% global staffing. It was at a big magazine, old magazine. I can just say it's Reader's Digest. And yeah, I was completely cut loose and I had like no savings. And that was my, I'm really grateful for that though, because I feel like it was a perfect wake up call for me. And it was, I mean, it's the entire reason I got into what I do now, writing about money, because I, had no savings. I wasn't prepared. And I was like, well, that's not going to happen again. And just decided that I was never going to, because you can have, you never know what's going to happen. When you work for someone else, you can always be let go. But I just made it my mission to like never be taken by surprise financially again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
But it is that balance. It's like you want to be smart about what you're doing, but you also want to live your life because you can get hit by a bus tomorrow. So.
Exactly. It is such a hard balance, right? Because sometimes you sway all the way one way. You're like, okay, but you're likely not going to be hit by a bus tomorrow, so I need you not to spend every penny. But
Yeah.
then,
But you
and
never
then,
know.
yeah, you're right, But then you're like, okay, you're preparing for the future. That's all you're doing, and you're like, you're not living for today. It's definitely, I think, a pendulum swing that I'm always trying to, especially me as a Libra. I always try to find my balance, like, okay, of living life and enjoying, but also like recognizing there might be more life, so let's prepare.
Yes.
Any fun things in the news? Any despicable news?
Oh, there's ooh, despicable. Yeah, we can start with the despicable. There was a I giggled at this headline. I'm really surprised it was a New York Times story, but so there is this group. Wait, let me pull up the actual lead of this story. There's this group called Pop Out Boys, a rap collective from Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. Apparently, so a rap collective, they like write music and put out mixtapes or whatever. They wrote a rap song about their credit card fraud ring.
Oh my gosh.
Some of the lyrics were in their credit card fraud was that you can go online, the dark internet, and you can like buy credit card numbers. So whenever you hear like Home Depot credit card members got their, information hacked, what happens with all that, like when these scammers steal thousands and millions of credit card numbers and information, they'll post them on the dark web and they'll sell them like $100 for this credit card with $1,000 limit, $500 for Stacey Brown with a $10,000 limit, So these guys would go online to buy these credit cards and then go rack up. They racked up more than $250,000 worth of goods from Barney's and Saks Fifth Avenue over the last year. But the fact that they wrote a song, this is, I don't even know if I'm gonna get the, I'm not a rapper, my little brother is, so pardon me. But the lyrics are, I'm cracking cards because I'm a scammer. Watch the money do a backflip early morning at Saks Fifth. You
Yes.
see it, you want it, you have it.
Yes, Mandy, you better give us that rap piece.
What idiots.
Right?
So they got caught.
Obviously. I don't know what is wrong because right now, like on Instagram, that's like the funny, cute thing to talk about that you're a scammer. Like,
Is
basically
it on
it's
Instagram?
the Instagram comedians. I follow a lot of Instagram comedians and like that's they do a lot of skits, like making, teasing at that, but there's a lot of scammers. Back in the day before I guess it became digital, it was the bootleggers.
Oh, yeah.
Like so there's always the like the get over people. Like even Superman, he would tell me like, oh, like we would drive past someone and he'd be like, oh, such and such must be out of jail. I'm like, well, who's that? He's like, oh, that's the is the bootleggers and the boosters. So the boosters are the people who go to the mall and steal, like boosting is like stealing like, products and stuff. And then come back to wherever and sell them. And I'm like, so I guess now things have gone online and
It's
like,
so much easier now.
yeah, what? Like someone, well, it was like old school, but someone stole my credit card. Did I talk about that the other day?
I don't think so.
So I went to the laundromat and I dropped my credit card at the laundromat. And I knew I did because when I got in the car and I drove, like I was going to like Marshall to return something. And before I got out of the car, I was looking for my credit card. And I said, hey, it's missing. Well, I haven't gotten out of the car since the laundromat. It must be there. Drove back. It's like a 5 minute drive away. Came in, was like, hey, do y'all have my card? And they were like, no, we don't have it. So anyway, fast forward 10 minutes later, I go home to check my balance. And I thought maybe I dropped it in the car, but I couldn't find it. I checked my balance. There's someone who ordered $40 worth of cheesesteak. Like, what are you eating?
Jeez Louise. That's
Are you
a pretty low ambition.
Yes, $40 worth, $37.99 to be fact, worth of cheesesteak from some cheesesteak place. And I was like, okay. And I called the credit card companies, obviously, and, like, you know, quickly canceled my card and, you know, reported the fraud. And in the morning, I saw I had another charge. I'm like, how is this possible? But I guess it didn't post right away. It was at the same dry cleaner. I had dropped off my dry cleaning. It cost me $40. And I saw another charge for $46. And I'm like, well, that's not me. So I called the dry cleaner and they searched the tapes and they're like, we see you coming in. Oh, Tiffany, we see you throwing your garbage bag that you had your clothes in away. And when you threw it, Tiffany, in the garbage, we see the card fall from your hand. And they're like, okay, we see a client, a customer coming after you. We see him pick it up and throw it toward the desk and miss, but he doesn't realize he misses. And then they're like, uh-oh, now we see an employee pick it up, look to the left, look to the right, pocket the card.
It was an employee.
Yes. And then this employee, because, I mean, clearly, when God was passing our brains, they were getting cheesesteak. this employee.
Because he went and used the card at the dry cleaner.
Yeah, at the same dry cleaners where you were. Honestly, I would not have been able to find them if they had just stuck to the cheesesteak. But no, they were like, let me use it for my friend and, like, pay for his clothes. So they were, the dry cleaner has literally, like, 40 cameras, every angle of the dry cleaner. And so they were able to watch them use my card, and obviously they were fired, and, you know, so it's all good now, but we wouldn't have, I mean, I would have gotten my money back regardless, but now this person is gone, and I'm like, how dumb. You should have just stuck to the cheesesteak and just enjoyed life, but you decided you wanted to call your friends and them and say, hey, come on down, girl, I got a card, and your laundry is on me.
Man, I'm laughing, but I get so angry at that kind of thing. Oh, yeah. I hate it when people steal from people. It's just not right.
It is hard when someone steals from you because it feels so personal, but to them it's impersonal.
I guess. I don't know why they want to steal that worthless perfume bottle.
But you know what I mean? Like, I remember there was, like, in middle school, there was, like, a rash of thieves. It sounds funny now, but at the time, as a middle schooler who saved up your allowance, you finally have $5. Losing it is like losing your leg. So, like, we would go to gym class, and then we didn't even have lockers on our lockers at gym. You know, you have your little locker and your book bag inside your in your locker, and you come back, and then all of a sudden, like, everybody's money was missing, and we were like, no, and I was, like, devastated. And we found out it was, like, a friend of ours. And she was, like, so nonchalant, like, well, I mean, I wanted to get the doll. We were like, girl.
Where are your parents?
Yes. And so it was just crazy. It's how we caught her because, you know, middle schoolers are so extra. Someone was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to hide in the bathroom after everybody goes into gym. I'll put my legs on the toilet, and we're going to see who comes in after. And that's how we caught her.
Oh, my God. Little detectives. Instead of, I know.
And confronting her with our own middle school. I don't even know if we told the teacher. I think we were just like, you know, like we had like an intervention. Like, what's happening? Oh, I wonder if she's still a thief to this day.
Well, it's easy to tell. And I mean, honestly, like when someone steals your credit card, if you still have it, you can easily like get the money back. The bank usually are protected, especially if it's credit. Yeah. But like, it's scary. It becomes scary when like this happened to me is someone just hacked my social security number and they just opened up a whole other like a Chase credit card.
Wow.
When I was like 18 or 19, but when I had just turned 18, 19. And I didn't realize it because I didn't own the card. So I didn't like think to go check that account. I didn't realize it until I moved to New York. Was renting an apartment, wanted to rent an apartment, and they check your credit, and they're like, so you have this $12,000 limit on this card from 2005 that has been, you know, in default or delinquent for like seven, however many years.
Oh.
And it completely was destroying my credit.
So what'd you do?
Oh, so I filed errors on all my, so you have the three credit reports. I went to freecreditreport.com or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I filed errors in all three accounts, and I had the fraud taken off. Like, they deleted it when I, you know, complained. But I still had to, like, beg the landlord to give me the apartment because that kind of stuff takes a long time. I think the credit reporting agencies have, like, 30 days to get back to you if you are. Yeah. Oh, hi. Hi. Oh, thank you. Sorry. I'm working.
Yes. Hi. Real life Mandy, y'all. See what's happening?
Sorry, unknown. De trabajo.
Oh, Mandy speaks Spanish too. We're going to keep this in. I don't want her to edit this out. This is amazing. Gracias. So, if this happens to you guys, just know that if someone steals your credit, if someone takes your identity. This is why it's so important, guys. So Mandy, I've been doing a
play-by-play. I don't want to leave that in.
Yes, leave it in, Mandy. Leave it in. It's good. It's real. It's gritty.
I'm so annoyed. I don't want breakfast. I'm not hungry. All right. Anyway, let me go back. What was I saying?
No, go back. Let's keep it. It's good. People are going to love it. I promise you.
Oh, my God. This is what it's like living with your in-laws, people.
Yep. You eat breakfast.
They just burst into your room when you're working. Yay.
You could be naked. Like, wait. My boobs are out.
Oh my God. I know. She's a very soft knocker. I didn't even hear her knocking while I was talking. Telling my story.
Anyway. No, go ahead. It's good that you no, because I was just giving an example that yes, that if this happens, this is why it's so important to really check your credit report periodically throughout the year.
Oh, so important. Yeah. And I completely was I had never checked it before. So that guy checking my credit was the first time my credit had been checked by anybody. But yeah, I ended up having to write him a letter and ask him to give me a chance. Like, please, I promise it's fraud, blah, blah, blah. And it worked. But that was my first and last time having that happen to me.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Imagine that person. There are people who have had their credit stolen and people get mortgages.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I went to one of those kiosks. At the mall, I was getting my very first, don't play me or don't judge me. I was getting a pager.
Oh, well, that's useful. More useful than Paris Hilton cologne.
I know, but I'm like, how old am I getting a damn pager? So anyway, he used my account and stuff information to open like pagers and cell phones or whatever up in like his friend's name. And meanwhile, I was getting the bill at the house confused. Like, why is this bill coming? My dad's like, what is this? I was like, I don't know. When I went back to him, he was like, I don't know. But it was that was so easy to be tracked. So I like called his boss and he was like, So the guy who turned all his friends' pagers and stuff on in my name, you know, got obviously fired. Because I was able to bring in the bills that were still coming to my house. Like, if he was smart, he would have sent the bills to his friends' houses. Because they had, like, his friend's name, like, hey, Jean-Paul, but Tiffany's payment information. Like, did you think I was going to pay this? Like, how was this working in your, how were you assuming this was going to work for you? And so he got fired. But, yeah, it's just really important to check your credit reports regularly. Is it annualcreditreport.com? I believe that's where you can get it for free. And if you yes. can do that, yeah.
Yeah. What did I say before? I was like distracted by the knocking. annualcreditreport.com is where you can get them all for free. And when my stuff was stolen, that was like before we had sites like Credit Karma where you can sign up and they would have pinged me saying, hey Mandy, we noticed you have a new hard pull in your account and there's a new Chase credit card. And I would have been like, I didn't open that card. And exactly. I could have got on top of it. Live and learn.
I know. Any other despicable news or good news?
Well, good news, you know, speaking of credit scores, and you know how all these credit card companies like American Express, Bank of America, Barclaycard, Citi, Chase, most of them have, if you're a customer, they give you some sort of free FICO score. Mm-hmm. But Discover this past week or so, they became the first one to give everybody and their mama a free credit score.
Yes.
If you go to discover.com. And of course, they're doing it with the hope that while you're there, you might, you know, they're probably going to sign up for whatever Discover It card or whatever kind of credit cards. But you don't have to, you can ignore all that and go on there if you want. And I believe it is your Experian FICO score. They offer you your TransUnion FICO score if you are one of their customers for the wide open access FICO score. It's Experian. The only reason it matters that it's Experian and not TransUnion, and so there's a three major credit bureaus. And when it comes to these like free FICO scores and stuff, you aren't getting your free FICO score from all three bureaus. You're getting them from one, and they they should be about the same in all three. But it's really best to know your score from each of the three credit reporting bureaus. Mm-hmm. But it's better than nothing.
It is. I think Credit Karma, what do they give? I think they give Equifax and TransUnion. Is that what Credit Karma?
They do too, yeah. I don't know which ones exactly, but there's definitely, they're the ones that have they have two different credit reporting bureaus, which I think is better than any of the others.
Yeah. So it's just good though. Everybody, there's no excuse not to know your score. But I mean, I think you mentioned this before that you have to just be mindful that versus thinking that this is your final hardcore number, this is more like a credit score estimate, right? Because if you go, you're never a Nick from Magnify Money, your new boss, whoop, whoop. I remember him saying that, like, the only way you'll know 100% for sure is when you hit that lender and the lender pulls your score, you know that's the one. But
this is true. Oh, and just a quick thing about the Credit Karma. That's not your FICO score. It's some more of like a Credit Karma and the Credit Sesame. They use their own algorithm or mathematical equation to come up with your score, and it's supposed to be close to what your FICO is. Mm-hmm. But whenever I've gotten my FICO score checked by, I think I've done it through Bank of America and American Express, Capital One. It's mm-hmm. always been lower than what Credit Karma, like by about 20 points, which isn't so bad. But I don't know if it's, but it's I guess good for me to know. Because FICO is the score that when you're getting a mortgage, that's what they really use, the FICO score.
So, yeah. But Credit Karma, I will say, and the sites like that, like the Sesames and all them, those things are good for not just your score or your score adjacent, but for learning the why. That's what I like about those like educational sites. Like, well, why is my score this way? What are the components of my credit score?
Totally. And I love, my favorite thing about Credit Karma is that you can put in like, what's going to happen if I open a new credit card? Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yo, that's breakfast.
Oh no. Yes. Superman in the kitchen.
Yes. Oh my God. I could just see him running for the what's it called? Like, oh my God, running. Cause you can press the button on the, And I know he's like, oh God, Tiffany's taping. She's going to be mad at me.
This has just been a day of family interruptions.
Yes. Meanwhile, I'm sitting in Supergirl's purple and pink room under her Dora the Explorer lamp. Like, so this is where I'm taping today.
This is real life, people. Sunday in the Casa de Tiffany and Casa de Mandy.
Exactly.
I have one last little bit of good news too. So I feel like whenever I fly Delta, it's just gotten worse, but the service and everything costs money. You want to breathe, that'd be 5 cents. You know what I mean? But they just, starting July 1, they're going to be making all their movies and TV and stuff on the plane free.
Awesome.
Free in-flight movies on 90% of its planes. So go ahead, Delta.
No, that's good because it does get very annoying to be nickels and dimes to death.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's good.
Thank you. I thought so too.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
So what do you, it's brown break, brown boost time?
Yes, ma'am.
Brown break, brown boost, brown break, brown boost. I am giving a brown, I think, did I break last time? Well, I'm going to give a boost. A brown boost to Essence Fest. Just because I'm speaking this year and I'm super duper excited and I've never been. So for those of you who are Essence Fest heads, definitely tweet me. Tweet us at the BA podcast or tweet me at the Budgetnista to tell me kind of like, what are some of the, you got to do this or you got to eat this. I've been to New Orleans before, but as far as like Essence Fest is concerned, because although I'll be speaking, I'll have a lot of downtime and I want to make the most of the fest. So I'm brown boosting that.
When is it? Next week?
It's always July 4th weekend.
Oh, coming up in a month.
I know. So I'm excited to go because I just know that I'm going to get to see, I think I read somewhere that Essence Festival is the largest music festival in the nation with like last time they had over 600,000 people come to New Orleans for Essence Fest. I know that's crazy, right?
Is it outdoors?
I don't know. I've never been, but I'm assuming there's like a convention hall that they have. I'm sure they have some outdoor things and some indoor things. I don't know. I am nervous about the New Orleans heat because
Oh my God.
I know. Like, whoo child. Last time I went to New Orleans, I've been to New Orleans twice. I didn't even know that I was, what is that thing when you, not heat deprivation, what is that, like when you're heat
sensitive. Stroke?
No, yep. Like you get like,
allergic?
No.
Some, there's like, heat allergies. It's the real
I
thing.
I know, but I'm laughing because we're like playing like the, like I'm playing like the game that I play with my dad when he doesn't know, remember something and I'm naming all these random things. And I'm like, toilet paper, tissue, curtain. He's like, no. Anyway, I had like nearly like a heat stroke. I didn't even realize that I was dehydrated. Yes. And I was like stumbling in the street. It, like somebody pulled me to the side. I guess they know that a lot of tourists don't realize when they get dehydrated. And she was like, you're dehydrated. And she pulled me into this bar and they gave me like water and had me sit down. And I was like, wow, this New Orleans heat is no joke. So yeah. So tell me what I need to like bring, what I need to do to prepare. And I cannot wait to see y'all.
You know, at conferences, it's super, it's really hard to stay hydrated, I found. You need to bring, like, a water bottle around because not every, like, session has water. And then the lunch times, I drink so much water when I'm at my desk at work just because I'm, like, in control of everything. But, I mean, I'm just going to do a PSA. Bring your own water bottle when you go to these conferences. Bring a camel pack, whatever you got to do.
You know those?
Yeah. Like the backpack that has a straw attached and you just, you know.
No, we're not doing all that. Well, I'm just realizing NOLA is like when we really became friends. Remember?
It has a special place in our
it does
in our relationship. It does.
We were like, so there's a conference going on, but we don't want to go in any classes. Want to take a walk?
I love skipping classes during a conference. It's my favorite thing.
It is my favorite thing, and it was so nice. Oh my goodness, yeah, it was so nice.
Well, while you are essence festing and being fabulous, I'm going to be in the woods in the Poconos with some friends. Ooh. We started out originally as like doing an annual 4th of July camping trip. And we've, you know how hard it is to keep traditions up when you're getting older and your friends are getting married and stuff's happening. Like I'm really proud that we've kept up this tradition, but this year it's become so far from camping. Like this year we're going to be in a house, has 5 bedrooms. It's gorgeous. It's like a little mansion in the woods. And but our very first camping trip, we did it in New Jersey and it was like the hottest record, hottest week in history or something. We were on this hard, unforgiving asphalt. Like there was nothing to do. There was one little lake, but there were so many babies in it. And you just knew it was full of feces.
Fun time.
It's just like, oh my God, it was like a 5-7 day, like a 6 or 7. It was too long. And yeah, just progressively we've gotten older and we're past the point of glamping.
Yeah, you're like, we're actually going to be visiting a house. So like, well, but how's that camping? Well, we're going to go outside every once in a while and barbecue.
We're going to have a s'more.
No, that sounds awesome though.
Yes, ma'am.
So what about you? Are you boosting or breaking?
I'm going to take a break this week. Okay. And it's been a slow building rage inside of me directed toward Uber.
Ooh.
I feel like every time I go to take an Uber that I have been taking an Uber in the past few months, it's been surge pricing. Oh, it's 2 p.m. surge pricing. Oh, it's 5 a.m. in the morning surge pricing. I woke up on a Sunday at I slept over a friend's house in Brooklyn, woke up a Sunday at 7 a.m. surge pricing. 7 a.m. on a Sunday?
Yeah, that's just,
it's too much. And it can be like 3-4 times the average or the going rate. And that's when you're talking about a $20 cab ride, you can easily spend like over $100.
That's, which is crazy. So that's why, because you're in New York. So, but you're right though. Whenever I go to New York, what I don't like is a lot of Uber drivers will do this. It won't be surge and then they'll drop you and then you'll have to like recall them and you're like, oh, it's surge now.
Yes.
So I'll just take a cab. Have you tried Lyft?
Well, I haven't tried Lyft, but here's what I discovered in my rage. So when I was in Brooklyn, one of my best friends told me, why don't you just use this app called Way2Ride? And it's Way2 with the number 2 ride. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's in any cities outside of New York, but it's literally like an Uber for yellow cabs. It works the exact same way because when I was like way out in like nowhere Brooklyn, I wasn't going to find a cab if I went out and like hailed it, you know? Mm-hmm. But it calls a cab. It shows cabs in your area. And you can hail a cab and you link your credit card to it and you just pay through the app and it works just like Uber but without any surge pricing.
Ooh.
So I'm done. I don't use Uber anymore. I'm done. I'm all about Way2Ride.
Ooh, Uber better be careful. See, I'm hearing a lot of pushback with Uber. So you're not the first person. And if they're not careful, I think Uber thinks we're the only game in town, but it's like, look, sis, you know, it's not going to be difficult to replicate what you're doing. Or for like places, like I read this article that Austin, Texas had basically kicked Uber out or made it so difficult for them to be successful there. they're no longer there. People were annoyed with Uber. Like in Newark, did you see that the mayor was like, no, Uber, you can't go to the airport and you can't go to our main. Like we have a Penn Station here in Newark, which is our main train station. And Uber sent out all these flyers and messages and emails and radio spots basically asking us to pressure the mayor to like let Uber stay. And I'm like, you got the wrong city. Newark does not care. People in Newark are like, if I get one more damn flyer, they do not care. They were like, girl.
Well, what's funny is like taxi drivers weren't exactly the heroes of metropolitan life before Uber came around. But they've almost made it like they are the heroes. Like, I want to support the yellow cab. Let me screw Uber. Like, Uber's become the big corporate giant, mm-hmm. like stealing business from the little man. And it's kind of, I think, yeah, it's backfiring on them.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, when you start a company to help people who otherwise might not have gotten help. And now you've lost the core purpose of your mission. Once you lose that, it's like, wait, I thought this was supposed to be so I can afford to get around and not have to worry. Now you're literally the opposite. It's like, you ever read that book, Animal Farm?
Not in years.
Yeah,
with the pig, like the allegory about the animals. Yeah.
Yes. Like the animals were like, the farmers are so mean. And then eventually the animals started moving into the farmhouse and started treating the other animals like they were farmers, but then
they became the farmers. Yep. Yes.
And so Uber, you are Animal Farm.
That was taking me back to like sixth grade literature canon.
Yeah, that was a good book though. But yeah, so yes, Uber is like the new Animal Farm. You
boo,
can hashtag
Uber
that.
Boo. Hashtag boo Uber. Fight the man. Fight the startup. All right, I'm done. I'm off my.
All right.
It was too much.
Gonna call Brown Ambition.
Dun, 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 dun. No, that's Beverly Hills Cop.
But you know, we can mix it. It's fine. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, let's start from the beginning.
So this is our PSA, you guys. We want your questions. We want to know what your questions are about your money, your career, your relationships, you're going on vacation, you want tips, anything you want to know, send us a question at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. Do not be shy.
So now it's time for wins. Wins, y'all. Oh, look at Mandy. Go ahead, Mandy. I see you warmed up with the rap earlier. So, you know, you're feeling yourself. Go ahead. You're feeling yourself. I'm feeling myself.
I think I might be good at it. Like spoken word. I'm going to see Hamilton. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I'm so
finally
jealous.
Finally. Oh, when I tell you I bought these tickets in September, I'm not kidding. In September, that's how far in advance I bought these tickets. And I bought them for my fiance for his birthday, which is June 28th. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can hold a secret. By February, I was just like, I blew it. I told him. I can't hold it in anymore.
You know what? Sidebar, where I'm going to go see, which I'm super excited about. I wasn't going to go, but then I saw the clips. I'm totally going to the Bad Boy Reunion concert when they come to Newark.
Can you say all that again? I think maybe when it's you talk loud, you turn into Darth Vader.
Sorry, okay.
Like your mic doesn't like it.
So I'm super excited, and I didn't think I was gonna go, but then I saw all the video clips on social media, and I'm going to the Bad Boy Reunion concert when they come to Newark, and the clips just brought me back to like college. I was like, oh my gosh, like this, I'm going to get my entire life. I'm going to do all my old dances from the 2000s, and like, oh my god, you have no idea how excited I am. And I asked Superman if he wanted to go. And I was showing him the clips, and we both just started dancing like, what, what, what? So I was like, so that's a yes, right? So we're going to go, and I'm super, super, duper, duper excited.
Who's all going 112?
Mm-hmm. What is this? Total, 112, Diddy. I don't know if Mace is there, but Luke.
I saw Mace on GMA. He must be doing it.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Like, that is like, that's like literally the peak of my, like, my young adulthood, where like all, like when Diddy reigned, it was like to be able to relive that and know every song and just like dance and vibe. That's when back when people used to dance and not like be so self-conscious about it. I just, I'm gonna get my life, honey. I'm wearing comfortable shoes. I'm dancing.
It brings me back to like when I used to actually watch MTV Spring Break.
Yes.
And they would be like 112 would perform it like every single day. Or maybe it was just a rerun. I don't know. But it was like peaches and cream. And I was like, I want to be there on the beach of Panama City, which is like the worst place on the planet. 12-year-old me.
You're right. Like, oh, I want to be there so I could take my life
That's
and send my
fun.
ear. Right? No, that's just, I cannot wait. Like, but it's not until September, but I think a friend of mine is actually getting a box. And she was like, if you want to go, everybody can chip in. I'm like, yes, I'm going to have the full on like experience with food.
Oh, swank.
Yeah, I know. Because, usually me, because me and Superman were talking about it, and we like don't, we're always, we're pretty frugal. And I was like, you know what? Let's do this. Let's do this little sport for ourselves.
Oh, that's fun. Good for you guys.
Yeah.
Well, my win this week, one, I guess I'm going to try and do two wins. Or speaking of musicals, I saw on Wednesday The Color Purple for the second time. Well, the second time I saw, that was my the very first Broadway show I ever saw when I came to New York when I was 19 was The Color Purple with Fantasia. And it was amazing. I know I don't remember everything about the play, but I remember crying and like having a real moment.
Oh.
And because I've had some time off in between jobs, my favorite thing to do is go see movies and plays by myself. So I and like at random times, like 2 p.m. or whatever. So I got ticket to the 2 p.m. Wednesday matinee show. And I had heard good things about it. You know, Jennifer Hudson isn't in it anymore, but the actress who replaced her, Heather Heady, she like originated the role of Nala, The Lion King. And everyone was so excited about her playing Suge Avery, you know, like the jazz singer, the lounge singer in the play. I had like as close to a like spiritual awakening as I've ever had in this play. Like I almost went directly from the theater to the nearest church. And like yeah,
Really?
it was so good. I was already sort of going through some stuff and I was kind of emotional when I the last half hour because of the actress who plays Celie, Cynthia Erivo, who's like I found out later was British. She gives such an amazing performance. I just like was almost if I had had room, I would have been on my knees, like doing the Holy Spirit wave. Like, and I've like never felt compelled to do that before. But it was so there. She just had these moments in the play, you know, when Celie's character, she starts off as being abused by first her father and then her husband, and being told she's ugly and worthless and stupid and slow, and her kids are taken away from her. Like, there's no character I don't think in literature that's been beaten down more than Celie. And then at the end, when she finally comes into her own, and I don't know if you haven't seen it, no spoilers, but she comes into her own. She's running a successful business, and she has this moment where she stands on the stage and she just says, "I'm beautiful," but she screams it, and everybody in the theater got up and like cheered. Everybody at like 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, it was amazing. And yeah, I just had to do a little shout out. So that cast, extraordinary. If you have money, spend it on this. I think my ticket, I got orchestra seat for $100.
Okay.
So they're not bad.
Well, I wanted to share that young boy,
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Kevante. I know we're saying his name wrong. Kevante King. I'm
Cavante.
like leaning on you, Mandy. Mandy's like silent, like, girl, you on your own.
Oh, sorry. I had it up before. I think it was Cavante. It was like Cavante.
Kevontes. Anyway, Kevontes King is just this young boy raised by a single mother. He started selling newspapers when he was 12 years old, and he was making approximately about $200 a week. And for the last 5 years, he's been stashing that money for college. I just thought that was really admirable. And so I just wanted to say, Brown ambition win to Mr. King and his mama who raised him. And the fact that, while so many kids are saving money for, fun things or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that, but Cervantes was really thinking about his future as early as 12, and putting money toward college. And so I think that's awesome.
You know, I recently, how much did he earn? Like $10,000 a year
Yeah.
doing that? You can go on the Social Security's website. It's like myssa.gov or something like that. And you can put in your information and they will give you your Social Security benefits statement, which if you're over a certain age, you already get it once every couple years or so. But you
Yeah.
can go online and get it for free, download it. It gives you like a whole history of your earnings since but when you first started earning a paycheck or getting a W-2. And I realized by doing this, like, I don't know, like a year ago or so, that I made like $15,000 at my little dinky high school job at the Gap in the 1.5 years I was working there. I don't know where any of that money went. Like, Actually, I do know where it went. It went directly into my closet because they gave us 50% off.
Yeah, that's the trick. You work at these places because you're like, I want to say, and you end up buying clothes. And they're like, thank you for giving your paycheck right back to us.
And I totally could have. I graduated from college with only about $8,000 in student loan debt. I definitely could have saved up and had enough for college. I don't know if that's true now because college is getting more and more expensive.
For sure.
My little brother went to the same school I went to. And what, granted, he was a fifth-year senior, but he graduated with four times as much debt.
Yeah, isn't that so crazy?
Just a few years later.
When you think about it, just like how college, like what is it going to be by the time, like if we have kids when they get older? It's going to be $1 million a year?
Seriously. I hope not. Well, hopefully when, you know, with the election, vote with your feet, people, or no, vote with your ballots, people, whatever.
Yeah.
Listen to what the candidates say about their plans for college education and the cost of college. I don't believe Mr. Trump, or he who must not be named.
Yes.
Who is currently being sued for his bogus
Trump University. Yeah.
I don't think he even has so much as an iota of a college debt plan. Whereas Hillary Clinton months and months and months and months ago released her college compact plan, which has, I think, a pretty smart comprehensive plan to reduce the cost of college, and Bernie Sanders too. So anyway, just saying, if you're woke about college, get woke.
Yeah, stay woke.
Stay woke. But this is that's a really cool story. Paperboy.
Yeah, Mr. King. Oh, and rest in peace, rest in power to Muhammad Ali.
Oh, we didn't even, you know how I found out he passed away? We got up early yesterday to go into Queens, and we took the bus and we passed by the Apollo Theater. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like, the Apollo Theater in Harlem has, you know, in dedication or in memory of Muhammad Ali. And I was like, wait, this is a mistake. He's not dead. And everyone's like, yeah, he died this morning. Get with it, woman.
Yeah.
That's so sad.
You know what Muhammad Ali, what I truly took away from him, because he was just so outspoken and so unapologetically sure of himself. And I like that in business, because, you know, and people always want to tell you, like, let your work speak for itself. You don't have to tell nobody, which is cool for some brands. But, you know, Muhammad Ali just made it that, like, no, if you think you're dope, say you're dope if that's what you want. You know, like, that's not for everybody. But I like the fact that he was like, I'm the greatest of all. Like, people started calling him that because he called himself that. Mm. And, you know, and I even though, like, before Kanye went way too much off the grid, I like that Kanye was kind of like, I think I'm dope. Because, you know, so many people are out there will tell you otherwise. So it's just like, okay, if that's how you feel about yourself, then tell the world. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, like, Kanye has definitely taken it to a place where you're just like, he needs medication. But yeah, I think that Muhammad Ali was one of the first people that I've seen that was just so outspoken about how he felt about himself and daring other people to say otherwise.
I read a pretty cool story about how in the 80s, apparently it was like towards the end of his career. He had just lost a few months before, and he heard that there was a man about to throw himself off the ledge at some like corporate building or office building or something. And he like turned his car around and drove all the way there and got into the building and like talked this guy off the ledge.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? And like, you never hear about that kind of stuff. So rest in peace, Muhammad. Another great loss.
Yeah, great loss indeed. All right, well, it's been fun BAing with you.
Go enjoy your breakfast.
Yes, now that it's cold, although I was nibbling between chats.
Oh, really? Yeah, my toast is cold. Mama Santos. Oh, man. All right, well, we will see you guys next week. I will talk to you next week, Miss Tiff Tiff.
I'll talk to you too, Miss Man Man.
Wait, what? Man Man?
I know. Sorry. You can stop that. We have so much to get out.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.